This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady from AvWeb, and I'm talking with Gloria Liu. She's the general manager of Zulu Flight Training, a new operation starting up in Alabama and using Redbird flight simulators. So she's going to talk to us a little bit about their approach to flight training. They've got some unique ideas and how they're going to be moving forward with that. So, Gloria, thanks for talking to us today.
Mary, I'm really excited about our new training operation. We are located in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and that is where we are starting our ground operations. And we have three full-motion Redbird simulations units, and we have two desktop units. And our aircraft are going to be based in Fairhope Airport, better known as Sonny Callahan, Charlie Quebec Foxtrot. And I guess one of the reasons why we picked this dual-site approach is we were getting a lot of, media attention on, general aviation, declining pilot population, and, what was the industry going to do to revive the pilot population and give general aviation a kind of a kickstart. And so what we were realizing is, for example, in our company, it is one of the perks that you can get your private pilot certification, and it is fully reimbursable by the company. But yet, there still weren't that many people who are taking advantage of this program, and we're like, wow, when you eliminate the cost, there's still all these obstacles as to why people don't become a pilot. And so, in developing this concept, we've kind of evaluated each of the issues, and we kind of tried to come up with a solution to overcome the obstacles. So, one of the biggest issues was people complained about the commute to the general aviation airports because they were located in rural areas that weren't that convenient for, after work. Or another issue that we had in this area is in the afternoons we tend to have a lot of rainstorms and people were always getting cancellations and people were feeling discouraged. And so that's why we are having our simulators and lessons in a storefront at the Eastern Shore Center because it's located closer to the population center and people find it much easier to be able to access this location, after work and to fit it into a busy schedule. We're finding that our students are able to train two or three times a week. They're stopping by after work hours and then scheduling aircraft lessons on the nicer days or on the weekends. And that's really proven to be beneficial in terms of people retaining the knowledge and getting through and being encouraged about their progress.
So how much time does a student spend in the simulator as compared to in the actual airplane?
It is currently kind of an alternating curriculum where the student is introduced to and practices the maneuvers in the simulators, and that saves a lot of time because there aren't the pre-flight checks and you don't have to wait for the aircraft to get gassed up and all of that kind of stuff. And then currently we are looking at the student spending about 40 hours in the aircraft and about 18 to 20 hours in the simulator.
Okay. And what kind of programs are you offering there in the storefront?
We are currently offering the private pilot certification, instrument rating, and we are also doing currency and proficiency for currently certificated pilots. We are specializing in Garmin G1000 introduction, and we are also featuring a special seminar for any pilot on emergency procedures.
Now, assuming that not all of your customers are worry-free about the financial aspect of it, how does it affect the overall cost of training?
It greatly reduces it because although the minimums are either 35 or 40 hours in the aircraft, the typical student is gaining certification after 60, 70, 80 hours. And rather than the cost of an aircraft per hour, the simulators are less than half of that. So we are able to reduce the cost because, one, the student is training more frequently, so they are getting through the program more quickly, so there isn't the repetitiveness that they're, paying to learn the same thing over and over again. And there is also the reduction of costs using the simulation devices.
Okay. Now, not all of our listeners, I'm sure, have had a chance to see or experience the Redbird simulator. So can you tell us a little bit about those and how they work?
Sure. They are basically the industry's answer for our general aviation training device. And we have two of their FMX models, which are full motion. There are three different axes that they simulate, so you can have everything from your pitch to the yaw to your roll, and they are currently configured for the Cessna 172, the Cirrus SR20, and the DA20. And what Redbird has done, which is very significant, is the acrylic. So they do a plug-and-play kind of technology, which makes it very easy to change from one aircraft configuration to another. So it's easy for us to meet the student demands in terms of what type of aircraft they'd like to train in.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit more about your flight school and how it operates? Like I noticed on your website, it said that you have instructors on salary, which kind of makes a difference in how they interact with the students.
Yes, and if you've noticed, a couple of our instructors also have an education background, so they're very dedicated to flight training, and that's their main focus. And what we wanted to get away from was any kind of motivation for instructors to pull back a student or kind of try to milk the hours out of them because they're being paid on an hourly basis. Rather, we have a salaried staff that has the same curriculum. We have established lesson plans that go through the scenario of each flight, and therefore it's a very standardized professional course rather than an instructor who is just training his way, and then there's a definite uniformity and continuation between our instructors.
Now, do you also have plans going forward to be more of a Part 141 school?
We do. We are currently operating under 61, and we are getting together course materials, and we have been corresponding with our local Birmingham physio in terms of our intentions, and we would like to be 141 shortly.
Okay. Now, I know you have a news conference coming up on Friday, and what is that all about? What will you be announcing?
We are going to be basically celebrating our grand opening, and we will be having guests from Redbird Flight Simulations, and they kind of wanted to talk about the future of simulations and type of products that they have in their pipeline, and they kind of wanted to use our school as a laboratory in terms of testing the transitions between a simulation device and the actual aircraft and seeing how we can reduce the cost, reduce the hours, and increase the student graduation rate. Because currently, about 80% of the students who start out on the private pilot road end up dropping out, and we really want to increase the graduation rate. And then we are also going to be having an announcement by Continental Motors, and, you know, their partnership in Redbird and what their hopes for general aviation are in the future. And then Zulu would also just like to make a statement about, you know, being an operation in the local area, and we are trying to get together with local youth groups and community groups to do general aviation outreach just to try to revive the industry.
Now, do you also have plans to kind of, I mean, you're in Alabama, so not everybody can come there for flight training. Do you see this as a model that will be sort of exported to other sites?
Yes, we actually created this for use in urban environments. Now, Spanish for Alabama isn't exactly the most urban of settings, but we have this in mind for areas that people have to travel a really far distance in order to get to a general aviation airport. And so how much of the skills can we teach them in a simulator in a storefront setting, and then they could go to the aircraft and there's already the familiarity and they could just kind of pick up the skills and just execute them in the aircraft. So that's kind of what our concept is striving towards. And this is especially of interest in the developing markets of China. And our parent company, AVIC International, has great hopes in terms of how are we going to teach people in the city centers of Beijing and the major cities in China.
Oh, okay. Do you have any ideas or plans in the works for where else in the U.S. you might use this model?
We are just first having this as a prototype flagship, but we are going to try to expand to another location in the future. Los Angeles was named as one potential location just because of parent company properties out there.
Okay, that sounds good. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
no, I think that if anyone's interested in learning more information, GuluFlightTraining.com is our website, and we are happy to field any questions and comments.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.